So as we forge ahead into the Word of God, we began last week talking about the urgency for prayer. And it was our desire for each one of us, including me, to be ignited by this sense of urgency to pray. Those two songs, those three songs, that collection, that worship, was again pointing us back to our need for prayer and why prayer becomes so vitally important. Just a declaration of, Lord, I need you, speaks to the humility that is found in prayer. And then when you start talking about, bless the Lord, oh my soul, it speaks to the effect of prayer. And just again, looking at God and who he is and reflecting back on who he is, prayer gets us to that place. And so our desire has been to create this atmosphere and this urgency around prayer. Part of this is born out of the opportunity that we had as we were beginning to plan for 2024. Praying and saying, God, where would you have us focused? The first place he had us go was to growing, and he identified for us five specific areas that we're wanting to grow in. The first one that we identified or that he emphasized was growing in prayer. And so at the first planning meeting that we had back in November, those of us who were gathered there spent some time talking about what it looks like to grow in prayer. And it was based upon the idea that Jesus declared in his word that his house shall be called a house of prayer. And so he didn't say that it would be a house of what? Preaching. He didn't say that it would be a house of singing. He said that it would be a house of prayer. And we understand a house just a little bit differently. We understand that it begins, first of all, personally, that you and I are the houses, we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And so by that fact, it says that you and I then should be people of prayer. And so individually, I must be, you must be a praying person. If you and I are to be fully committed followers of Jesus Christ, one of the core disciplines that must exist in our lives is that we must be praying people. Remember, we said that prayer was nothing more in its simplest form, was just really communication with God. It is communication between you and your Father in heaven, whereby you're talking to him and he's talking to you, and you are doing this on a regular basis. Not that it is forced or coerced, but that you have a love for spending time with your Father, talking to him, listening to him, and receiving from his heart. And so we said that we have to be people of prayer, who are focused on prayer, who are committed to talking regularly to the Father, not just about some things, but about everything. And so if individually we become focused on prayer, then naturally as we come together as a corporate body, what we become then are a people of prayer. Remember in 2 Peter, where it talks about you and I are a chosen nation. We are chosen people, devoted, dedicated to God, that we are a holy people, and that we are a people who are to be committed to him in prayer, that we are a people who are to be committed to him with our lifestyles. And so it's just that reminder that you and I are then to be folks of prayer. I'm sorry, I think I said 2 Peter. That's actually 1 Peter chapter 2. It says that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So he says we are a chosen people. that we are then being people who are built up into a living spiritual house. We're being built up into a living spiritual house. And so if you're going to build a house, as they say, you got to do it brick by brick, stone by stone. And so each stone needs to be the type of stone that will represent the type of house that is being built. And so we're saying that we want each stone that represents this house to be a praying stone, a stone that doesn't mind, that enjoys, that loves and believes in calling on the name of God in prayer, that we may receive from him and offer to him his just due. And so part of the urgency of prayer that comes out of that, and I heard Minister Jocelyn talking about it, I want to become a person of prayer. So part of our plea, part of our cry is, God, help me to be a person of prayer. Help me, God, to spend much time in prayer. And we said, talking about praying isn't praying, or talking about prayer isn't praying. And so we want to get beyond talking about it. We want to actually be about doing it. Studying about prayer isn't praying. We want to get beyond studying, and we want to be a praying people. In fact, preaching about prayer is not praying. And so we want to move beyond the preaching of the message and actually apply and put that message into action. And we want to pray. In fact, you know this to be true. Talking about praying is a lot like talking about exercise. If you only talk about exercise and you never really exercise, you can't expect any of the benefits that comes from actually exercising. And so we want to get beyond just talking about it, and we want to do it. And probably the most important factor in all of this is this truth, is that Jesus considered prayer to be paramount, important, of utmost importance. He spent time praying. He spent time fasting. And it wasn't reserved for once a week. But as we read the scriptures, we discover that Jesus placed a high priority on prayer, so much so that he did it daily, regularly during the day, and sometimes all night long. He placed such an emphasis on prayer that he did it by himself in solitude. He did it with those who were with him, his disciples, and he did it even before he performed a miracle. Praying. And brothers and sisters, if Jesus felt compelled to pray, if Jesus had a love for prayer, if the Son of God, who was the living God and also the Son of Man, prayed, then it seems that it should be something that should be of utmost importance for you and for me. So as we continue, I want us to press into the idea that, Lord, if I'm not a prayer, I know that, God, you can make me the type of person that becomes a prayer, because that is your desire and your will. Let me read this scripture for you. It's going to be the anchor that we hang on for the next few moments as we just again emphasize praying. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18, one very important verse that concludes, and it's really, I think, included as part of the armor, but it includes Paul's dressing us up in the armor of God. Remember in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul makes a statement that you and I, that when we've done all that we can do to stand, he says that you and I must stand. Don't fold, don't buckle, don't back up, stand. When the enemy is pressing up against you, what do? You stand. Did you say it? Stand. Say, I stand. That's what I do Why? Because God told me to stand, and the fact that he's behind me gives me the reinforcements that I need. That song that they were saying says that when I can stand no longer, I'll lean on you. Yes, because he'll hold me up and he'll help me stand. The scripture that we read, Psalm 40, talks about you place my feet on a solid rock and you gave me a place to stand. And so Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then he says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. He's saying, take a stand. Yes, the devil is throwing arrows and shooting the arrows at you. Yes, the devil is doing whatever he can to push you off track and to make you believe that no, God doesn't love you. No, Jesus doesn't love you. Yes, he's disappointed with you, but you have to take your stand against the schemes of the devil. Because his goal, his plot, is to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your hope. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to destroy your hope. He wants to think that you have no purpose. He wants to make you think that you've run out of time. But your job is to stand against his schemes. And one of the ways, brothers and sisters, that we stand is we stand on our knees in prayer. We stand with our attitudes bowed before God in prayer. When you and I are praying and leaning on God, it gives us the strength to absorb the assaults of the enemy and not be stopped and not be defeated. So Paul says you and I are to stand. And then he, of course, talks about putting on the full armor of God. I want to encourage you, go back, take a look at that. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, where he talks about putting on the full armor of God. And he is dressing us in pieces of armor so that we can be spiritually prepared for battle. Then in verse 18, he says these words, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and request. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So if you have your highlighter or your pen, circle, highlight, underline that word all every time it appears in that verse. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. So we've got all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So there's nothing you're holding back. And then he says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. In the New Living Translation, it reads this way, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. For all believers everywhere. In other words, you and I need to be about praying all the time, about everything, and never ever neglect prayer. That's where our attitudes should be. That we should have a urgency about praying and knowing that there is nothing off limits that we should not be praying about. That we're in the process of praying, it helps us then to be in line with God's will. So in addition to having an urgency to pray, I need to have the practice of prayer. The practice of prayer. Not just talking about it, but doing it. Not just talking about it, but we need to be about doing it. Because prayer is effective for you and for me. Listen to these familiar words that come out of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 through 15. They're familiar because these are the words that King Solomon prayed at the dedication. And God responded to King Solomon with these words and said to Solomon, he says, "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place." God is saying that, yes, there may be some difficult times that will come against you, but in the midst of them, what your response must be is to pray. It says that you are to humble yourselves and pray, that you are to seek his face, and that if there is wicked behavior in your life, that you are to turn from that wicked behavior. And he says that in the process of you taking that approach, that he will hear from heaven, that he will forgive whatever sin may be in your life, and he will heal your land. That means he'll bring healing for you in your experience. So we not only need to have an urgency about prayer, we need to have the practice of prayer, because when we pray, we get results. Amen. This is the confidence that we have, that when we pray, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the very thing that we have asked for. It's in 1 John chapter 5. I believe it's around about verse number 14. Yes, when you and I pray, he hears us and we receive what we have asked for. When we pray in accordance with his will and in the name of Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, I just want to again impress upon you that if we are to become a house of prayer, if we're going to become a place and a people that are known for praying, that the first thing we have to start doing is praying on all occasions, praying with all kinds of requests, praying in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers, and praying for all the saints. And so that means that it becomes our regular practice to pray, understanding that prayer is not only the heartbeat of my life, but it is also the heartbeat of our ministry. Regular prayer makes sure that we are in step with God's will. And if I'm going to be growing in prayer, I've got to be exercising my prayer muscle. Now, I've got to warn you that when we start talking about growing in prayer, it introduces something similar to what happens when you say, "Lord, give me more patience." As you know, God does not just give you more patience when you say, "God, give me more patience." What happens is there seems to be a series of events that happen in your life that require you to exercise patience. And in the process of you exercising patience, you are growing in your patience. There's a similar thing that happens when you start talking about, I want to be a person of prayer, or I want to grow in prayer. There are, and there have been, and there will be a series of events that happen to pop up in your life or that you become associated with that will drive you to prayer. And that is required because we have a natural inclination and a natural tendency not to pray. When things are going well, when things are going as we think they should go, prayer is not always at the top of the list until you've grown and matured to a point of where, you know what? This is what I do. Prayer is what I do. It's a part of who I am. And it doesn't matter whether I'm on the mountaintop or in the valley, I pray. So as you and I make this declaration that we want to grow in prayer and that we want to become a house of prayer, that we want to become a people of prayer, there will be some things that show up that force you to pray. And what you need to understand is that it is sometimes that God is allowing the devil to come in and just nudge you into prayer. Because the only way you can truly defeat him is when you have your feet standing on holy ground with absolute trust and confidence in God's ability to be your victor. When you know that your victory comes through him and not through any other means. And sometimes that requires that we are humbled. Sometimes it requires that we are put in different situations. But here's the result. No matter what comes your way, your response must be, I will pray. And I won't stop praying until I receive that thing for which I am praying for. I will pray, and I won't stop praying until I receive that thing for which I am praying for. And so I want to give you just one or two quick hitters that will help you as we move forward in prayer. First of all, make prayer a priority in your life. That's number one. If it's not a priority, say today, I will make it a priority. What does a priority look like? A priority looks like this. I'm going to pray every day through the day, no matter what. That means if I oversleep and I'm not able to make it to my prayer time that I normally have slotted prior to my getting started in the day, that at my first opportunity, I am going to make that an appointment for prayer. That means that if my first opportunity becomes lunch for that day, then what I am going to choose to do is, because prayer is a priority, I'm going to say that, you know what, this meal has to wait. I've got to go find me a corner to pray. I've got to go find me a place to pray. And so you make prayer a priority daily and through the day, where you say that it is going to be my point to connect with the Father, where I can hear him and where I can receive from him and where I can allow him to thoroughly equip me for the task of the day. And so if I'm making it a priority, that means that I also then, I'm identifying both a place and a time where I can go and spend intimate time with the Father. Uninterrupted time with the Father, where I can give him my undivided attention and he can speak to me. Both a time and a place where this becomes my place of prayer. Because I'm making prayer a priority. And I know that when I get here, my mindset shifts. When I get here, my mind is set on, I've come to do business. And the prayer in this closet is not like the prayer as I'm running through the course of the day. No, the prayer in my closet is different because it is a focused, personal time of prayer where I am connecting with God and allowing Him then to speak to me, to cleanse me, to fill me, to make me whole. And I am receiving from Him His instructions. And I understand that I can't run life, I can't do it with my own thinking. I need Him to stamp His viewpoint upon my heart. And in order for that to happen, I've got to have dedicated time that I spend with Him. And so I'm going to rearrange my day. I'm going to rearrange my week so that consistently and regularly I am spending time so that I can practice or participate in prayer. I'm going to be like Jesus. You know, if you go and read in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, that verse comes where it says, early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went off to a solitary place to pray. That verse comes after a long day of ministry for Jesus Christ, where Jesus had been healing, He had been teaching, and they had been bringing all of their sick to Jesus, and he met every need that was brought to Him. And it was time for them to call it a day. He shut it down, went to bed, but it says early in the morning, He got up while everybody else was still asleep. He got up, went off to a solitary place to pray because it was a priority for Him to connect with His Father, to spend that time of intimacy with His Father. He said, I'll give up some sleep and I need to go away before I begin all of this activity. And so you and I are saying that, listen, we're going to rearrange and make this a priority. We're going to create the time. We're going to create a space where we can go and be with the Father without interruption. And we're going to spend time talking and listening to what He has to say. Secondly, in the practice of prayer and to pray according to God's will, you need to make sure that the Word of God is your guide. Yes, the Word of God. You need to make sure that you are allowing the Bible to lead you and guide you in the things that you ought to pray for. While you and I can cast all of our cares upon Him, as we grow and mature in prayer, we begin to pray the things that are important to God. And so that's why, as Paul said, we're going to pray in the Spirit. So we're going to be led by the Spirit as we pray, which means that we're going to say to God, I've come to pray your thoughts after you. So allow your Spirit to show me how to pray. And one of the great benefits that you and I have been given is that we have the Word of God, the Bible, that has been compiled in 66 books where God shares with us His thoughts, what's important to Him, and His priorities. And as you and I work through that, we discover what's important to God. And then that's what we began to pray. Yes, it is important that you are in good health, so there's no harm in you praying for good health. Yes, it is important that you have your provisions met, and so there is no harm in you praying for your provisions. He said, our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. So He has no concerns about you praying for your daily needs and your daily provisions. But you're going to learn how to expand your prayer from beyond what your needs are to, again, as Paul said, praying for all the saints. Not only will we be praying for all the saints, but we're going to get the heart of God is going to be stamped upon us so that we are praying the things that are important to God. Praying for things like justice. Mm-hmm. Praying for things like righteousness. Praying for our governments, both local and national, that they would operate with integrity, Because those things are important to God. Because he said he gave government for the functioning and supporting of people. And so we're praying for those things. But the key to getting there is by you spending time in the Word of God and allowing God's Word to lead, guide, and direct you. That's why I always, you'll hear me talk about it often, because I believe it is a powerful book. 31 Days of Praise, 31 Days of Prayer. Prayers that have been written and based up on the Word of God. I praise God for those people whom God has gifted and given them insight into his word and allowed them then to craft and write out devotionals and lessons. And so I want to encourage you to use those devotionals and those lessons that will help you grow in your praying and in your understanding. I thank God for books like The Power of a Praying Husband, The Power of a Praying Wife, because those books revolutionized the way that I began to pray for my own spouse, the way that my wife, Sister Manita, began to pray for me. Those books revolutionized it because we were not so arrogant as to think we knew everything there was to know, but we took what Stormy, the author of those books, we took what she had to say based upon the Word of God, and we began to apply it to our lives. And what we began to see is that our marriage would become stronger as we were expanding the way that we could pray for one another. So I encourage you, get those tools, the Word of God and other tools that he has given that helps us learn to pray his will and not just our own will. And then finally, not only do we seek a place of solitude where we are praying, not only do we set a time and a place to where we're praying and use the Word of God to lead us and guide us in our prayers, but we then make it a point that we start to pray corporately together. Where we start to come together because we understand the power of agreement. We understand that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. So we say, I'm not going to try to do it solo. I'm going to get someone to walk this journey with me, and that I can walk this journey with them, so that we are praying together, so that we are focused together, so that we are bringing the power that is at work in us together to have a bigger impact and to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And so if you don't have a prayer partner, you start to seek out a prayer partner. You start to make time to join the time of corporate prayer. Say that I will be there and I will lend my voice and I will see what's on the agenda for prayer, and I will begin to focus on that, because we are going to be a praying people. We're going to be a people that call upon the name of the Lord. We're going to be a people that have a lifestyle of prayer. We're going to be students of the word. We're going to be structured in the word. We're going to be consistent in praying for others. And we're going to be committed to times of prayer. We're going to be intentional in what we do. And we're going to allow the Spirit of God to lead us. And what that's going to do is produce effectiveness in our prayer. And you know what James says about the righteous person, that their prayer is powerful and effective. If you think Elijah could shut up the heavens and then pray again for the heavens to be opened up, he said Elijah was a man. He was a person just like you and I. But the effective or the effectual prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So what that means is that you and I are going to see results. Not because we are relying on ourselves, but because we are relying on him. We'll have an urgency about prayer, but it won't be void and empty. Faith without works is dead. It is going to be an urgency that is followed up with the practice. Going to reserve time fall down on our knees, take our preferred posture before God, and just cry out unto him that he will do exactly what he desires to do in our experiences and in the experiences of our children and in the experiences of our loved ones, that his will come to pass because we've committed ourselves to being his agents for change in this world. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. Don't get tired. Don't get weary. Don't quit. And don't throw in the towel, because if you do it too early, you won't receive the promise. Last week, I was introduced to this song that I've been playing all week long because it was an excellent conclusion to the urgency to pray. And it fits perfectly with the practice to pray. If you have YouTube, Apple Tunes, Amazon, whatever your source of music is, I want to encourage you to go get this song by a gentleman by the name of Matthew West that says, "Don't Stop Praying." For in that song, he is exhorting and encouraging us to keep praying. No matter where you are, just keep praying. Whatever you do, don't stop. Listen to these lyrics. He says, "What's your impossible? Your, I need a miracle. What's got you barely hanging by a single thread? What looks so hopeless now? What weighs down your heart with doubt? You beg for a breakthrough, but no sign of a breakthrough yet." He says, "When you've cried and you've cried till your tears run dry, the answer won't come and you don't know why, and you wonder if you can bow your head even one more time. Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door and let your knees wear out the floor. Don't stop believing, cause mountains move with just a little faith. And your Father's heard every single word you're saying, so don't stop praying." Oh, brothers and sisters, go grab that song. Let that song minister to your heart and to your spirit. And when you're ready to throw in the towel, play that song and say, "I'm going to bow one more time. I haven't gotten the answer yet, but I'm not going to stop until I get the answer." Because when you pray in faith, things happen. God moves and he arrests the enemy who keeps harassing you. And he delivers and he does for you what he's been desiring to do for you. Remember that scripture we read? So many wonderful things that he desires to do for you. And if we were to talk about the things that he has already done, we can't declare them. Now imagine what he wants to do. And my encouragement to you is have an urgency to pray. Practice praying by praying. And whatever you do, don't stop praying. Father, we thank you that you have issued to us an invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace. For you say there we can find help, we can find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus said that when we ask anything according to your will, that it will be done for us. Father, I pray today that you will fortify us, your people. That God, you would help us, Lord, to believe you enough that we will put your word to practice. that God, we won't let go until God, we have the very thing that we are praying for, that we would be like Jacob. And I'm thankful that God, you could have overpowered him. That angel could have overpowered him at any moment. But it was your desire that he be blessed. And he held on until he was blessed. And even if we have to walk with a limp, we would rather walk with a limp with you and with your blessing than to walk on our own without it. So help us to remain steadfast and immovable, always abounding in your work, and never, ever stop praying. In Jesus' name, amen.